My fellow South Africans, good evening, Goeienaand, Sanbonani, Dumelang, Riperile, Le Madekwane. Earlier today, I visited the areas of KwaMashu, Springfield, Mobeni, and Umlazi in KwaZulu-Natal. These areas have been sites of unprecedented violence and destruction over the past few days. The streets and buildings I saw bear the scars of looting and mayhem. But what is most devastating is the toll that these events of violence have taken on people's lives, on their livelihoods, and sense of security. The human toll will take much longer to repair. It is clear now that the events of the past week were nothing less than a deliberate, a coordinated, and a well-planned attack on our democracy. The constitutional order of our country is under threat. The current instability and ongoing incitement to violence constitutes a direct contravention of the constitution of our country and the rule of law. These actions are intended to cripple the economy of our country, to cause social instability, and severely weaken or even dislodge the democratic state. Using the pretext of a political grievance, those behind these acts have sought to provoke a popular insurrection amongst our people. They have sought to exploit the social and economic conditions under which many South Africans live, conditions of poverty, of inequality and unemployment that have worsened since the onset of coronavirus pandemic, and to provoke ordinary citizens and criminal networks to engage in opportunistic acts of wanton looting. The ensuing chaos is used as a smokescreen to carry out economic sabotage through targeted attacks on trucks, on factories, warehouses, and other infrastructure necessary for the functioning of our economy and the provision of services to our people. Through social media, through fake news and misinformation, they have sought to inflame racial tensions and violence. Worst of all, these instigators have sought to manipulate the poor and vulnerable for their own benefit. Yet, despite the widespread destruction, this attempted insurrection has failed. It has failed to gain popular support amongst our people. It has failed because of the efforts of our security forces, and it has failed because South Africans have rejected it and have stood up in defense of our hard-won democracy. I saw the determination of our people in defending their democracy in action as I walked through the streets of Eteguini. And many of us will have seen how many of our people across various parts of the country have done exactly the same. I saw people cleaning up the streets, rebuilding their lives, standing together, united in their diversity, young and old, men and women, black and white. They were grateful for the support of the security forces and made it clear to me that they stand united and will work with the government to restore stability. My fellow South Africans, since the outbreak of this violence, at least 212 people have lost their lives. Of these, 180 have been in KwaZulu-Natal and 32 in Gauteng. The South African Police Service, led by Commissioner Sithole here, is investigating 131 cases of murder and have opened inquest dockets in respect of 81 deaths. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families of those who have lost their lives to this senseless violence. This is a pain that no family and no community should have to endure. Since the unrest started, the National Joint Operational and Intelligence Structure has recorded over 118 incidents of public violence, arson, looting, and other unrest-related instances. These incidents were concentrated in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. Since the height of the unrest on Monday and Tuesday, there's been a sharp decline in the number of incidents, and calm has returned and is returning to most of these areas. Over 2,550 people have been arrested in connection with the unrest, and special arrangements are being put in place to ensure that these cases are prioritized. The destruction of property and theft of goods has cost businesses, consumers, and the country as a whole billions and billions of rands. According to preliminary reports compiled by NetJoints, extensive damage has been caused to about 161 malls and shopping centers, 11 warehouses, 8 factories, and 161 liquor outlets and distributors. This does not include the damage caused to the roads and other infrastructure. Fellow South Africans, as this government, we must acknowledge that we were poorly prepared for an orchestrated campaign of public violence, destruction, and sabotage of this nature. While we commend the brave actions of our security forces on the ground, we must admit that we did not have the capabilities and the plans in place, as this happened, to respond swiftly and decisively. Our police were faced with a difficult situation and exercised commendable restraint to prevent any loss of life or further escalation. However, once additional security personnel were deployed, they were able to quickly restore calm to most areas that were affected. Once this crisis has passed, we will undertake a thorough and critical review of our preparedness and response to incidents such as these. For now, our priorities are firstly, to stabilize the country. Secondly, to secure essential supplies and infrastructure. Thirdly, to provide relief and support recovery and rebuilding. Fourthly, to encourage the active efforts of citizens in defense of their lives, livelihoods, and democracy. To stabilize the country, we have massively increased the numbers of law enforcement and security personnel on the ground in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. And we are also spreading them around to other parts of the country. I have authorized the deployment of 25,000 members of the South African National Defence Force, led by General Mapwanya, to support the work of the police. Of these, 10,000 are now on the ground, while the remaining forces are arriving in their respective areas of deployment over the course of this weekend. Steady progress is being made to secure our logistics infrastructure. The N3 freeway, which faced enormous challenges and difficulties between Ethekwini and Gauteng, has been reopened, and security forces are in place to keep vital supply routes open. The security forces are working with business to ensure the safe transport of fuel, food, oxygen, pharmaceuticals, chemicals, and other critical supplies. Operations at the ports of Durban and Richards Bay are being restored to enable the resumption of exports and imports. Regulations have been issued in terms of the Competition Act to enable firms involved in the supply of essential goods to share information about the availability and demand for certain goods. This is to help prevent shortages of essential goods and promote the equitable distribution of scarce essential goods across the country. These measures will ensure that supply chains remain intact. I want to emphasize that there is no shortage of food or supplies in most parts of the country, and there is therefore no need to go on panic buying, because doing so will only worsen the situation. In addition to supporting the police in maintaining order, South African National Defence Force members have been deployed to key installations to protect them and commercial sites that are vital to the functioning of the economy and the uninterrupted provision of services to our citizens. Specialized units of our law enforcement agencies are working round the clock to locate and apprehend those responsible for planning and coordinating this violence. We will spare no effort in bringing those individuals to justice. I want to repeat, we will spare no effort in bringing those individuals to justice. My instruction to the Commissioner of Police and his officers is very clear on this. There have been calls from several quarters for the declaration of a state of emergency to contain this violence and destruction. These calls are understandable given the levels and extent of disorder. Our view, and my view, has been that a state of emergency should only be declared when all other means of stabilizing the situation in our country has shown to be inadequate. A state of emergency would allow a drastic limitation of the basic rights contained in our constitution, which no responsible government would want to do unless it was absolutely necessary. For now, it is our firm view that the deployment of our security forces, working together with communities and social partners across the country, will be able to restore order and prevent further violence. We will extinguish the fires that are raging, and we will stamp out every last ember of this fire. We will identify and act against those who lit the flame and those who spread it and those who are still attempting to spread it. We will find those who have instigated this violence. They will be held accountable for their deeds. Because we will not allow anyone in our country to destabilize the country and to get away with it. And we will not allow any person or any group, whoever they are, to challenge the authority of our democratically elected government. Because this is in the end a challenge to the people of South Africa. While our security forces are steadily establishing control on the ground, the effects of this violence will be felt by all South Africans in the days and weeks and months to come. I met a number of business leaders during my visit in KwaZulu-Natal together with the Premier, Minister of Police, the Minister of Defense, and the Minister of State Security. And the business people told me that it will take them a few months to restore their businesses. The damage that has been done to vital economic infrastructure will, as they told me, take time to repair. This in turn will have an impact on the availability of food, fuel, medicine, and other supplies, not only in South Africa, but across the region. The violence and destruction has done enormous damage to our economy at a time when we are struggling to recover from the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. It has destroyed businesses and will undoubtedly lead to further job losses. Ultimately, it will also deepen poverty and cause even greater hardship to millions of South Africans. The widespread looting of the past week is likely to fuel a further increase in COVID-19 infections. These events have also disrupted our COVID-19 vaccination program in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, just as it was beginning to gain momentum. Now it is imperative that we should take further steps to provide support to households and to help businesses to restock and to rebuild. We're in the process of providing immediate food relief to households. Earlier, I received a call from Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, who was telling me about the situation in Ulundi. And we immediately promised him that we will be taking steps to ensure that the people who were lining up in Ulundi after the destruction of shops in Eshowe and other areas nearby had resulted in the shortage of food. And they were now lining up in Ulundi. We are attending to this even tonight as we speak. We are targeting areas affected by the looting and where people have no access to food. Provincial departments of social development and SASSA will use their remaining budget in the social relief of disaster program to provide support in the form of food parcels, cash, and food vouchers. We're working hard to bring all SASSA offices into operation again. Cash points are expected to resume services from the 19th of July in all areas that have been declared safe to operate. To assist with the immediate needs of affected communities, the Solidarity Fund has established a humanitarian crisis relief. Mrs. Gloria Serobe informed me, as chair of that fund, that they aim to assist those in greatest need at this time. We are calling on all South Africans to support this fund. We appreciate the support of the many companies, the organizations, and faith-based groups that have already started providing support to families in distress. Social partners have been meeting to discuss a range of measures which can be implemented to provide immediate relief within our fiscal means. This includes the provision of emergency food relief and other assistance to those in greatest distress. We will also help our small businesses, including those in townships and rural areas, to heal the damage they have suffered. Our business people provide important goods and services in our communities, and we will help them to rebuild their businesses. A team in the Presidency and the National Treasury, as well as those who are leading the economic cluster in government, are hard at work to develop a comprehensive support package for Cabinet's consideration. We will be in a position to make a further announcement in this regard soon. In the short term, it is essential that we get the vaccination program back on track as soon as possible, and no effort will be spared in that regard, as we are now in a position to have more vaccines available so that this program can speed up. My fellow South Africans, while calm has returned to most of Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, the threat to our country and to our democracy remains present and real. Those responsible for organizing this campaign of violence and destruction have not all yet been apprehended, and their networks have not yet been dismantled. But we know who they are, and the police are on their tracks, and they've already identified them. We must therefore remain vigilant and resist any efforts to incite further violence. We welcome the unwavering support from religious, traditional, political, party, labor, and business leaders, many of whom I met during the course of this week. We applaud those individuals, organizations, and communities that have taken the initiative through peaceful means to restore calm and protect lives and property and infrastructure. We thank all those people who have remained at their posts under difficult and dangerous conditions, providing services to our people and our nation, the law enforcement personnel, health workers, social workers, security personnel, municipal employees, and many other frontline public servants. We also thank the journalists of our country who have been reporting on these events and bringing the news to South Africans as they've been unfolding, helping to ensure that South Africans are informed and empowered. And I've watched many of them getting into very dangerous situations so that we may all be informed. We call on communities across the country to work with the police through community policing forums. We have found that these policing forums work extremely well, particularly at a time like this. And many of them have been functioning to good effect. No person should take the law into their own hands. We must guard against vigilantism and anything that could inflame tensions, racial or otherwise, further. We call on all South Africans to encourage calm and restraint, to desist from sharing false information, and to report any incidents of violence to the police immediately. Any incidents or people who seek to loot or to disturb the peace. By doing these basic things, we can all work together to protect our country. This coming Sunday, South Africans will join people across the world in celebrating Nelson Mandela Day. As we reaffirm our commitment to our democracy and remembering the father of our nation, Nelson Mandela, let us use Mandela Day to provide food to the most vulnerable in our society, to clean up our streets, and to start the task of rebuilding. My wish is that this cleaning up campaign that has been sparked off by cleaning up the mess of this violent week can become a continuous process in our country where we all work together to clean up our country so that we can emulate other countries, even on our continent, that have clean streets, where people work together on set days of the month, of the week, to clean up their neighborhoods, to clean up their country. This is a moment that I would want us to use to begin this culture of cleaning up the areas where we live. While security forces are essential to restoring order and stability, this assault on our democracy will ultimately fail because the people of South Africa will not allow it. If we stand together, no insurrection or violence in this country will succeed. We are engaged in a struggle to defend our democracy, to defend our constitution, to defend our livelihoods and our safety. This is not a battle that we can afford to lose. When we look back on this moment in our history, let us say that we faced down a grave threat and defeated it. Let us bear witness to the strength and the endurance of our democracy, not its downfall. Let us speak of the triumph of our constitution, not its destruction. We will never allow this great project of humanity that is so lauded and praised all over the world, our South African democracy, to fail. Lastly, I wish to pass condolences to some South Africans who have passed away in the recent past few days. Inkosi Mahlangu, the chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leaders, passed away. Tshepo Tshola, one of our most outstanding artists. Dr. Ben Ngubane, former KwaZulu-Natal Premier. Aubrey Mokoena, who was the head of the Release Mandela campaign and a former MP, passed away. Kehla Mthembu, a leading businessman and a friend. Dr. Sam Gulube, the former Secretary of Defense, just recently retired. Jeff Makubu, Mayor of Johannesburg. Dr. Vanguard Mkosana, the former Director General of Labor. Michael Zuma, the younger brother of former President Jacob Zuma. We pass our condolences to their families, and may they all rest in peace. May God bless South Africa and continue to protect her people. I thank you.